Hi, everybody. I am back to do another installment of Hysterical Literature because I had so much fun with the last one, and it sounds like you guys did too, judging by the reactions that I got, which makes me happy. I'm a book nerd. I love literature and I love orgasms. So I think that this is the ideal project for me. Today I'm going to be reading The Catcher in the Rye. It's a very old beat-up copy, my very first copy of this book, which I have revisited a number of times, but this is the first time I've brought my womanizer with me on such a visit. I like this book. I don't have a lot of romantic or sexual classic lit in my physical library, so if anyone wants to send me some, you are absolutely more than welcome to do it. So that's a little invitation. If you have a recommendation, if you have a book that you'd like to send to me, I am welcome to suggestions. So, without further ado, here is Catcher in the Rye, supplemented by my Womanizer Pro. Ah, there's that heavenly hum. Okay. I'm putting it on my pussy. Nice and snug. Oh. Crank it up. Ooh. 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 Okay. Mm-hmm. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like, and how my parents were occupied and all before they had me, and all that David Copperfield kind of crap. But I don't feel like going into it, if you want to know the truth. In the first place, that stuff bores me, and in the second one, my parents would have about 2 hemorrhages apiece if I told them anything personal about my life. They're quite touchy about anything like that, especially my father. They're nice and all, I'm not saying that, but they're also touchy as hell. Besides, I'm not going to tell you my whole goddamn autobiography or anything. I'll just tell you about this madman stuff that happened to me around Christmas, just before I got pretty run down and had to come out here to take it easy. I mean, that's all I told my brother DB about, and he's my brother after all. He's in Hollywood. Oh. That isn't too far from this crummy place, and he comes over and visits me practically every week and every weekend. He's going to drive me home when I get home next month, maybe. He's got a Jaguar, one of those little English jobs that can do around 200 miles per hour. It cost him damn near $4,000. He's got a lot of dough now. He didn't used to. He used to just be a regular writer when he was home. He wrote this terrific book of short stories, The Secret Goldfish, in case you never heard of him. The best one in it was The Secret Goldfish. It was about this little kid that wouldn't let anybody look at his goldfish because he'd bought it with his own money. It killed me. Now he's out in Hollywood, DB, being a prostitute. If there's one thing I hate, it's the movies. Don't even mention them to me. Where I want to start telling is the day I left Pensy Prep. Pensy Prep is this school that's in Agerstown, Pennsylvania. You probably heard of it. You probably seen the ads anyway. They advertise in 1,000 magazines, always showing some hotshot guy on a horse jumping over a fence. Like as if all you ever did at Pensy was play polo all the time. I never even once saw a horse anywhere near the place, and underneath the guy On the horse's picture, it always says, since 1888, we have been molding boys into splendid, clear-thinking young men. Strictly for the birds. They don't do any damn more molding at Pensy than they do at any other school. Ooh. And I didn't know anybody there that was splendid and clear-thinking at all. Maybe two guys, if that many. And they probably came to Pensy that way. Anyway, it was the Saturday. It was the Saturday after. It was the Saturday of the football game with Saxon Hall. The game with Saxon Hall was supposed to be a very big deal around Pensy. It was the last game of the year, and you were supposed to commit suicide or something if old Pensy didn't win. I remember around 3 o'clock that afternoon, I was standing way the hell up on top of Thompson Hill, right next to this crazy cannon that was in the Revolutionary War and all. You can see the whole field from there. You could see the two teams bashing each other all over the place. Oh, you couldn't see the grandstand too hot, but you could hear them all yelling deep and terrific on the Pensy side, because practically the whole school except me was there, and scrawny on the Saxon side because the visiting team hardly ever brought many people with them. There were never many girls at all at the football games. Only seniors were allowed to bring girls with them. It was a terrible school, no matter how you looked at it. I like to be somewhere at least where you can see a few girls around once in a while, even if they're only scratching their arms or blowing their noses or even just giggling or something. Old Selma Thurmer, she was the headmaster's daughter, showed up at the games quite often, but she wasn't exactly the type of girl that drove you mad with desire. She was a pretty nice girl, though. I sat next to her once in the bus from Agerstown, and we sort of struck up a conversation. I liked her. She had a big nose, and her nails were all bitten down and bleedy-looking, and she had on those damn falsies that point all over the place. But you felt sort of sorry for her. What I liked about her, she didn't give you a lot of horse manure about what a great guy her father was. She probably knew what a phony slob he was. The reason I was standing way up on Thompson Hill instead of down at the game was because I'd just got back from New York with the fencing team. I was the goddamn manager of the fencing team. Very big deal. We'd gone into New York for that morning for this fencing meet with McBurney School. Only we didn't have the meet. I left all the foils and equipment and stuff on the goddamn subway. It wasn't all my fault. I had to keep getting up to look at this map so we'd know where to get off. So we got back to Pensy around 2:30 instead of around dinner time. The whole team ostracized me the whole way back on the train. It was pretty funny in a way. The other reason I wasn't down at the game was because I was on my way to say goodbye to Spencer, my old history teacher. He had the grip, and I figured I probably wouldn't see him again. Oh, until Christmas vacation started. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. He wrote me this note he wanted me to see before he went home. Oh, he knew I wasn't coming back to Pensy. I forgot to tell you about that. They kicked me out. I wasn't supposed to come back after Christmas vacation on account of I was flunking all subjects and not applying myself at all. They gave me... They gave me frequent warnings to start applying myself, especially around midterms, when my parents came up for a conference with old Thurmer, but I didn't do it, so I got the axe. They give guys the axe quite frequently at Pensy. It has a very good academic rating, Pensy, it really does. Anyway, it was December and all, and it was cold as a witch's teat, especially on top of that stupid hill. I had only my reversible on and no gloves or anything. Oh, fuck. Okay. The week before that, somebody'd stolen my camel's hair coat right out of my room, with all my fur-lined gloves right in the pocket and all. Pensy was full of crooks. Quite a few guys came from all these very wealthy families, but it was full of crooks anyway. The more expensive a school is, the more crooks it has. I'm not kidding. Oh. Anyway. Oh, I'm gonna change positions. Anyway, I kept standing next to that crazy cannon. Looking down at the game and freezing my ass off. Only I wasn't watching the game too much. What I was really hanging around for, I was trying to feel some kind of a goodbye. I mean, I've left schools in places I didn't even know. I was leaving them. I hate that. I don't care if it's a sad goodbye or a bad goodbye, but when I leave a place, I like to know I'm leaving. If you don't, you feel even worse. I was lucky. All of a sudden, I thought something that helped me know I was getting the hell out. Oh, fuck. I suddenly remembered this time in around October that I and Robert Titchener and Paul Campbell were chucking a football around the front of the academic building. They were nice guys, especially Titchener. It was just before dinner and it was getting pretty dark out, but we kept chucking this ball around anyway. It kept getting darker and darker, and we could hardly see the ball anymore, but we didn't want to stop doing what we were doing. Finally, we had to. Oh, fuck. This teacher that taught biology, Mr. Zambesi, stuck his head out of the window in the academic building and told us to go back to the dorm and get ready for dinner. If I get a chance to remember all that kind of stuff, I can get a goodbye when I need one, at least most of the time I can. As soon as I got it, I turned around and started running down the other side of the hill toward old Spencer's house. He didn't live on the campus. He lived on Anthony Wayne Avenue. I ran all the way to the main gate And then I waited a second till I got my breath. I have no wind, if you want to know the truth. I'm quite a heavy smoker. Oh, for one thing, that is, I used to be. They made me cut it out. Another thing, I grew. I grew 6.5 inches last year. That's also how I practically got TB and came out here for all those goddamn checkups and stuff. I'm pretty healthy, though. Anyway, as soon as I got my breath back, I ran across Route 204. It was icy as hell, and I damn near fell. Oh, down. I don't even know what I was running for. I guess I just felt like it after I got across the road. I felt I was, sort of disappearing. It was the kind of crazy afternoon. Terrifically cold, and no sun out or anything, and you felt like you were disappearing every time you crossed a road. Oh, fuck. Boy, I rang that doorbell fast when I got old Spencer's house. I was really frozen. My ears were all hurting, and I could hardly move my fingers at all. Oh, fuck. Come on, I said right out loud. Almost somebody opened the door. Finally, old Mr. Spencer opened it. They didn't have a maid or anything. And they always opened the doors themselves. They didn't have too much dough. Oh, fuck. Hold in, Mrs. Spencer said. How lovely to see you. Come in, dear. Are you frozen to death? Oh, fuck. She was glad to see me. She liked me. At least I think she did. Boy, did I get in that house fast. How are you, Mrs. Spencer? How's Mr. Spencer? Let me take your coat, dear, she said. She didn't hear me ask how Mr. Spencer was. She was sort of deaf. She hung my coat in the hall closet, and I sort of brushed my hair back with my hand. Oh, fuck. Well, I got to page 6, which is further than I got in on the road. A lot of people have commented that I'm reading really strange material for these things, and I think that's totally true. But I enjoy it. Thank you for listening to me read. I'm sure that's why all of you are here. Oh, fuck. There was something I was gonna say, and of course I forgot. What was it? I squirted, but that wasn't what I was gonna say. Oh, yeah. I was just gonna remind you guys that if you liked what you heard here, I do phone sex every night. Well, I have phone sex every night. I give phone sex every night. I take calls. It's $2.50 per minute, and I really make it worth every penny you pay. If you like the sound of this voice, and if you like the moans and screams and giggles and breathlessness of my orgasms, then you will fucking love me on the phone, because I'll be moaning and screaming your name. So if you're up for it, send me a message. In fact, I love getting mail. I respond to all my messages, so send me a message if you enjoyed this, or if you'd like a custom recording, anything like that, I'm always down for. Alright, this has been a blast and a trip. Totally enjoyed it. Oh, I'm rambling in my basking fucking... Oh my god, I can't talk. All right, clearly I need to go to sleep. Good night.